Robin Hood Radio presents Agriculture from Tucana Farms. Here's Mark Scherzer.
From time to time over the years, I've written about the economics of egg production. It's one of my hobby horses, says Peter. At first, I was focused on the seasonal nature of egg production, its peaks and valleys following the seasonal waxing and waning of the sun. I tried to establish the date in the spring on which egg production became profitable, that is, when they produced enough eggs to cover the cost of their feed. In later bulletins, I turned my attention to supply and demand. You may recall that in 2015, an egg shortage developed in the wake of the avian flu, just as scientific evidence was being published dispelling the connection between eggs and blood cholesterol and extolling the health advantages of eggs. With great pleasure, we watched the prices of eggs rise, a long overdue event in our view, and it seemed a textbook example of how supply and demand work. I called it Eggonomics 101. Our experience this winter has prompted me to contemplate egg production from the standpoint of our less productive capital, our older chickens. We've been limping through this winter, scrounging the few eggs being produced by our older hens, whose numbers were decimated a couple of winters back by fisher attacks, while we've been impatiently waiting for the new hens we got as chicks last summer to start laying. The lengthening hours of sun in the last few weeks have produced only a slight uptick in laying by the older hens, giving us maybe up to 7 eggs on a good day, and as few as 2, particularly on cloudy days. I had to confront this egg dearth last weekend when I tried to make my mother's recipe for flourless chocolate almond cake, which requires the whites of 12 eggs, and I realized it was a choice between dessert that night and breakfast the next morning, unless I halved the recipe, which I ended up doing. As you may have noticed, we've now all but suspended sales of eggs until the usual spring upsurge truly begins. At the same time, I'm deeply puzzled by the dismal production from our young Rhode Island Reds, who arrived as newly hatched chicks in July. The gospel on the internet is that Rhode Island Reds start laying at 18 to 20 weeks of age. We expected to start seeing an avalanche of the mini eggs they initially produce sometime in early to mid-December, Christmas at the latest. Yet here we are, staring Groundhog Day in the face, and at most we've seen 2 or 3 small eggs from them sporadically in the last couple of weeks. This variety of Rhode Island Reds we keep are often regarded as egg-laying machines, but it seems both the youngest and the oldest hens are proving to us that they will not be treated as machines. For the failure of the young hens to produce, we have no real remedy. If your new Apple iPhone failed to immediately work for you when you took it out of the box, you would likely take it to the store and return it. But with our young chickens, the hatchery has not guaranteed their productivity, and there's no way to return them. Our only option is to nurture them for months, in the hope that they'll eventually produce. The older hens is where we literally get into advanced eggonomics. With each year after the first year of life, the egg production of a hen seems to decline, while the eggs they produce get larger. We're pretty sure that our oldest hens, those who have passed the 4 or 5 year mark, are probably producing less than half a dozen eggs a year, all in that rush of frantic laying that unsurprisingly coincides with the Easter Passover season. The eggs are great symbols for the renewal of life, but these egg-centric holidays could only occur at a time when eggs are abundant. If you compared our farm to a factory, you'd find it a most bizarre one. It's as if in a modern automobile plant we continue to keep the old assembly line machinery for the Model T running on the factory floor, yet producing no cars. These birds, in theory, do have some economic value. Every once in a while we get an older Italian or a Mexican customer looking for a chicken of a certain age to stew or to use as the base of a sauce, and we're happy to sell a big old hen for that purpose. What we don't do that a rational economic actor might do is to actively seek out such customers. I wonder whether our decidedly uneconomic behavior in this regard stems from who we are as older farmers. Hey, I have to admit it, I'm an old guy. I see myself less able to sustain a punishing production schedule than I once routinely did. I simply can't churn out as much product as I did in my salad days. As a lawyer, those lawyer's letters and legal briefs are my eggs. And though I can't lay as many as I once did, I do like to think that those I do produce are as good as they ever were, or better, thanks indeed to my increased age and wisdom. I would hate to think that the reduction in energy and endurance that, fight as I may, are happening to me, would signal that it's simply time for the axe to fall on my neck. Not everyone devalues the aged. I recently attended a breakfast awards program sponsored by the Columbia Aging Center, honoring age-smart employers who have recognized the value in employing older workers in flexible ways. The idea of the awards was to promote recognition that older workers have much to contribute, even if in different ways from those in their prime years. The mentoring they provide to younger staff, their dedication, the knowledge and experience they've absorbed over the years, the meaning they derive from work, make older workers in many ways ideal employees, and there's economic benefit in hiring them. Could the concept that age carries values apply on the farm? Well, I can see how it easily applies to our sheep. Older ewes who do not lamb often produce higher quality fleeces. Old sheep like our late Weather Orhan could still lead the flock and play mentoring roles to lambs who were not fully accepted by their mothers. With older chickens, it's not quite so clear. We don't fully understand their role in the flock's social structure, and their rare eggs are their only product. But maybe we need more information. And maybe we just want, for personal reasons, to vindicate the principle that age should be valued. The economic benefits may not be the whole story. Perhaps we're on the vanguard of being age-smart farmers.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Turkana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Turkana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of Turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of Turkey. And his third hat is Turkana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website? TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.